Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Ashley and I will bring you those stories, along with Katie Weaver and Alice Bryant. Later, Ana Mateo will bring us this week's health report. But first, South Korea and Japan are adding to recent international punishment against North Korea for its nuclear testing programs. Japanese and South Korean officials announced the sanctions Friday. They are in response to North Korea's threat to strike back against new United Nations sanctions announced earlier. The United Nations announced new sanctions against North Korea on Wednesday. The punishments came in response to North Korea's test of a nuclear device on September 9th. China, North Korea's main trading partner, and Russia agreed to the UN sanction. North Korea's Vice Foreign Minister, Han Sung-yul, spoke to foreign diplomats in the nation's capital, Pyongyang. He said the new UN sanctions are an abuse of power and violate his country's right to self-defense, according to the Associated Press. Earlier, North Korea warned it will respond to the UN sanctions. It did not say what the response would be. The sanctions announced Friday by Japan and Korea are mostly symbolic. Trade between the two nations and North Korea is largely non-existent because of sanctions already in place. South Korea's new sanctions ban North Korea from engaging in financial dealings with top aides to North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Japanese officials said Friday they will bar ships that have traveled to North Korea from using Japanese ports. Japan said it will also freeze holdings of groups and individuals connected to North Korea's nuclear and missile programs. On Wednesday, the United Nations Security Council approved new sanctions without any opposition. The sanctions largely target North Korea's coal exports. Coal is the country's largest source of income. United States State Department spokesman Mark Toner said the new sanctions will cut North Korea's coal exports by more than 60%. None of these sanctions are directed, and nor do we seek to punish the people of North Korea who indeed are long suffering under the current regime, Toner said. He added that the sanctions target North Korea's ruling class, who he said are responsible for North Korea's bad behavior.
Austria has elected independent candidate Alexander van der Bellen as president. The former Green Party leader defeated Freedom Party candidate Norbert Hofer. Van der Bellen captured 53.3% of the vote, compared to 46.7% for Hofer. The results do not include absentee ballots, but officials say There are too few of those to change the outcome. Van der Bellen supports Austrian membership in the European Union. He called his victory a signal of hope and change to all the capitals of the European Union. In contrast, Hofer spoke out against EU attempts to get too much control over individual states. He threatened to call a referendum on whether Austria should leave the EU. He also took a strong anti-immigration position during his campaign. Experts partly link Hofer's rise in popularity to immigration policies. Many people are concerned about the current migrant crisis in Europe. Tens of thousands of migrants have sought asylum in Austria in the past few years. Many of Hofer's followers are young men. They include members of Austria's so-called identity movement, which opposes multiculturalism. The movement is growing, adding groups in countries across Western Europe. Hofer's loss is seen as a setback to such populist movements in Europe. Hofer told reporters that although he lost, he will keep up efforts to make sure the Austrians who voted for him are not ignored. "We are not done," he told VOA. "I will fight for the next elections." Political experts say the election of Donald Trump in the United States heavily influenced politics in Austria and other EU nations. Trump campaigned on strong immigration enforcement and criticized European policies on migrants. I'm Katie Weaver.
The United Nations, or UN, is asking for $22 billion to provide life-saving help for nearly 93 million people worldwide. The UN made the request on Monday to international donors. The request says the donations would go to helping the most vulnerable people in 33 countries. UN officials say the world is facing its biggest humanitarian crisis since World War II. They say more than 128 million people are in need of urgent support. The people are said to be victims of conflict, displacement, and natural disasters. Of this number, UN officials are requesting money to help the individuals most severely in need of life-saving assistance. Stephen O'Brien is the UN's Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs. He says the donations will make a big difference in the lives of tens of millions of people. O'Brien said the money will be used for life-saving food assistance to people close to starvation in areas including the Lake Chad Basin and South Sudan. The donations will also help people in other countries.
It will provide protection for the most vulnerable people in Syria, in Iraq, and in Yemen. and it will enable education for children whose schooling is disrupted by El Nino, among many other responses.
The crisis in Syria is the United Nations' biggest humanitarian concern. The UN plans to help nearly 13 million Syrians who are displaced within the country or living as refugees in neighboring countries. O'Brien says humanitarian assistance is only a temporary solution. He told VOA that a political solution is the only thing that will end the suffering in Syria. He noted that the Syrian conflict is more than 5 years old.
Humanitarians can do no more than fill the gaps of people who either need food or shelter or medicines or treatments or evacuation or who need access to water and sanitation and hygiene and other non-food items in order simply to survive.
In addition to Syria, UN officials said that Yemen, South Sudan, and Nigeria are among the countries with the greatest humanitarian needs. They have had large displacements of people inside and outside their borders. The United Nations noted that about 1.2 million people have fled South Sudan, making this the biggest refugee movement in Africa. 80% of those who fled are women and children. I'm Alice Bryant.
U.S. President-elect Donald Trump says he would not be tweeting as much if he got fairer news coverage. But he wrote on Twitter Monday that he did not know if that will ever happen. Trump has been busy on Twitter in recent days. Among other subjects, he wrote about his telephone call with Taiwan's president, Tsai Ing-wen. Their discussion broke diplomatic norms. For more than 30 years, U.S. presidents have avoided direct contact with Taiwan's leaders in support of the government's One China policy. Last week, Trump said on Twitter that he plans to stop the Obama administration's move to normalize relations with Cuba, unless Cuba gives the United States a better deal. His comments came after the death of former Cuban leader Fidel Castro. It was not the first time Trump and his advisors said a Trump administration might end President Barack Obama's two-year efforts to improve ties with Cuba. But it was the first time the next U.S. leader announced a major foreign policy decision on social media. Twitter has been Trump's chosen social media network to express his opinions, both as a presidential candidate and, more recently, as he forms his administration. Trump will be sworn in as president on January 20, 2017. Also last week, Trump expressed on Twitter his position about a move to recount ballots from the U.S. presidential election. Former Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein asked for the vote recount in three states. Trump, a businessman, was the Republican Party's candidate. He said on Twitter that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote because of millions of illegal votes. Clinton was the candidate of the Democratic Party. She now leads the popular vote by 2.5 million ballots. In his tweets, Trump said there was serious voter fraud in Virginia, New Hampshire, and California, all states won by Hillary Clinton. He also attacked the cable news network CNN. State election officials, both Republican and Democratic, have rejected Trump's claim. Trump won enough states to enjoy a large lead in America's Electoral College. Members of the Electoral College are set to meet on December 19th to officially elect the next president. All signs point to Trump winning, even with the vote recounts. Trump's supporters say they enjoy reading his comments on Twitter. At his campaign events, people praised Trump for telling it like it is. Trump has defended his strong language. Taking strong positions, he said, is part of his negotiating style to get better deals. But some diplomats say his strong words on Twitter and elsewhere could lead to misunderstandings, or worse. Aaron David Miller was a Middle East negotiator for three different U.S. administrations, Democratic and Republican. He is now a vice president at the Wilson Center, a research policy center based in Washington, D.C. We've never really confronted a potential like this before, certainly not in the administrations I've worked for, Miller said. Kellyanne Conway directed Trump's presidential campaign. She told CNN television on Sunday that no decision has been made on how much Trump will tweet once he is president. Conway told CNN that Trump believes Twitter and Facebook provide him with a good way to talk directly to people. But it can be hard to express positions on major issues in the 140 characters permitted by Twitter. Kathleen Hall Jamison is a communications expert at the University of Pennsylvania. She said that discussing important policy issues on Twitter increases the risk that the president-elect's message might not be understood. Barack Obama was the first U.S. president to take office in the age of social media. He has used Twitter, Facebook, and other social networks. But Obama's Twitter account, like that of many world leaders, is operated by his top aides. The president himself only rarely issues personal statements on Twitter.
This is what's trending today. The United States Army Corps of Engineers has denied a permit that would be needed to complete a major oil pipeline under the Missouri River. The announcement on Sunday ended a tense situation between the U.S. government and several thousand people. They had set up a protest camp on federal land in North Dakota. For months, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe has been leading demonstrations against the Dakota Access Pipeline project. The tribe says the pipeline would affect its drinking water supply and destroy its holy places. The Corps of Engineers is responsible for studying and approving permits for all water crossings nationwide. In North Dakota, protesters are celebrating the federal agency's decision. Many people who followed the story on social media also are celebrating. They posted articles and videos about the news on social media sites such as Facebook and Twitter. North Dakota, Dakota Access Pipeline, and Army Corps of Engineers were all trending topics on Sunday and Monday. Some news media produced videos of tribe members cheering when they heard the news. Corey Westbrook is an environmental activist in Florida. She called the agency's decision great and wonderful news in her Facebook post. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders tweeted that the protesters showed the importance of standing together against injustice. Members of the tribe started protesting in late July after the Corps of Engineers approved the final land easements and crossing of the Missouri River. The river feeds a nearby man-made lake, which is used to collect drinking water. The pipeline is designed to bring oil over 1,800 kilometers from western North Dakota to oil processing centers in southern Illinois. The Army Corps of Engineers controls the land along the way close to the tribe's reservation. The crowd of protesters grew over time. At one point, protesters fought with police who tried to break up the crowd by firing tear gas, rubber bullets, and a water cannon. Even with the arrival of cold weather, the number of protesters grew. They were joined last week by thousands of U.S. military veterans who offered their support by building temporary shelters. The Corps of Engineers said on Sunday it will work with Energy Transfer, the company responsible for building the pipeline, to find another way to cross the lake. But Energy Transfer said the decision is only a delay, and it plans to finish the project without changing the direction of the pipeline. That means some of the protesters will be back. Many people warned that work on the pipeline could begin again in early 2017, once Donald Trump is sworn in as president. A Trump aide says the president-elect will support construction of the pipeline and will consider the project once in office. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. United Nations researchers are reporting progress in the fight against the disease malaria. The researchers confirm that malaria-carrying mosquitoes are becoming more resistant to insecticide products. But they note that another way to guard against the insects, chemically treated bed nets, still provides a lot of protection against the disease. The researchers reported on a 5-year-long study. The findings were released at a meeting of the American Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene in Atlanta, Georgia. A parasite called Plasmodium is responsible for the spread of malaria. Mosquitoes infected with Plasmodium
pass the disease to human beings through mosquito bites. The parasites reproduce in the human liver and then infect red blood cells. After they enter the blood cells, they reproduce again. As they do this, they destroy the cells. Signs of the disease appear in victims 10 to 15 days after they are bitten. People with malaria develop a high body temperature. They also become weak, are unable to hold down food, and suffer pain in the head or muscles. If not treated, malaria can make the victim sick and even cause death. The UN's World Health Organization carried out the study on malaria infection in 5 countries: Benin, Cameroon, Kenya, Sudan, and India. The UN agency received financing from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. WHO teams examined the effectiveness of long-lasting nets treated with insect-killing chemicals. Tessa Knox, a WHO scientist, was one of the researchers. She says the result of the study was positive. It showed that the long-lasting nets that are being used throughout sub-Saharan Africa are still working. She says that finding showed that there needs to be an increase in the supply of nets. And she adds health workers should make sure that everybody who's living in at-risk areas is sleeping under a net and using the net correctly. Mosquitoes have developed a resistance to the chemicals in the bed nets. But Dr. Knox says the netting still can offer protection against the disease.
So a mosquito could land on a net, and while it wouldn't die immediately, what it would do is continue to search on the net for a hole so that it can penetrate and go underneath and bite the person beneath the net. In the process of searching on the net, it contacts the net surface and absorbs insecticide. And as it absorbs that insecticide, it would eventually take on a lethal dose, which would kill that mosquito. So even if they don't die immediately, the searching process would mean that eventually they may die.
Dr. Knox says there is an urgent need for new and improved malaria-fighting tools. But she says until they are developed and deployed, officials believe insecticidal nets will continue to be the main way malaria is prevented. As part of the study, researchers in Sudan covered the walls of homes with an insecticide made from chemicals that differed from those used in bed nets. They say that step reduced infections by an additional 50% compared with using only long-lasting insecticidal nets. Dr. Knox says the insecticides used to kill malaria-carrying mosquitoes should not cause health problems for people.
All of the chemicals that are being applied broadly across sub-Saharan Africa have been through a very strict safety testing to get the WHO recommendation that would allow their usage. So there aren't any concerns with the current insecticides that have been using in the nets, nor are there concerns with the sprays that are being used on the wall, if they're being used in the correct way.
The World Health Organization says long-lasting insecticidal nets are one of the most important parts of malaria control efforts in African countries south of the Sahara Desert. That part of the continent has 90% of the world's malaria infections. The WHO says availability of the nets in the area rose from 2% in 2000 to 53% in 2015. I'm Ana Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.